first, second, and last verse. First, second, last verse, page 129. Probably induced by the allergies, considering we were all about half crazy. crooked up, you know. That stuff gets bottled up in there, and the next thing you know, you've got an infection. So I do appreciate the Lord giving us doctors that can help us out and stuff. And I can't tell you how many times I thought about a preacher. I mean, back in the day, there wasn't no doctor to go to. If you got sick, you just sit until you eventually got over it. Some of the infections, I mean, generally, your body will fight it off. If you got 8 weeks, you know, to wait on. You know, so appreciate the Lord giving us a way we can get some relief a little bit faster than that. Y'all just continue to remember me. Appreciate the pastor calling us yesterday. I actually did not get to have my MRI on Monday because it turns out that the place that they sent me to was not going to be covered by my insurance, which is not technically insurance, it's Medishare, but it's kind of the same thing. Anyway, they just weren't going to tell me, you know, and then expect me to pay a big bunch of money when I got there. So, as we were talking about, that didn't happen. Yeah. I realized after the fact how many people probably go into that situation kind of with the panicky feeling, well, I have to get this done right now, so I have to agree to whatever. And I really appreciate the Lord giving me the calmness of,
amen,
no, this can wait, because I could have been in that very same situation.
Yeah.
If the Lord had not given me the peace of knowing, okay, this don't have to be done today.
Yeah.
You know, any of us, if we are in a situation where we feel like that, we're going to agree to whatever they say.
Yeah.
Right? So I realized after the fact that it was only the Lord's mercy, you know, that kept me from just saying, yeah, whatever, you know. But it was just an exorbitant amount of money. It didn't even make sense. Even my doctor was kind of taken aback by the price that they gave me. But so I spent hours on the phone today talking to different places and finding where I can get appointments at. It's actually going to be covered. So y'all just keep praying for me on that. The Lord get all this stuff straightened out. And then whatever, you know, comes of whatever, I guess, you know, between the MRI and neurology appointments and stuff, that the Lord just help with all that and give grace. I'll be honest, my brain's a little bit burned out. Between the weird side effects of the medicine and like it being midweek and then being on the phone for 2 or 3 hours with medical people, I was kind of, you know, I started to recover a little bit, you know, driving home and being like seeing the outside. But y'all just had y'all pray for me. But I know there's a lot of other folks got stuff going on too. Appreciate the Lord's help. Helping Luke, they said he was doing a good bit better. Brother Tony was saying already he's not quite as stuffy as he was before his surgery. Appreciate the Lord helping us. Brenda, with her, where she had to have that taken off. Just pray the Lord to help her continue to get healed up. Continue to pray for Emma. She tries to get her diet and stuff figured out. I know it's going to be a big adjustment and stuff. I know we've got several. How's Preacher Billy doing?
He's doing better.
Good, good.
Able to get up and move around.
Okay,
good.
Is he in better spirits, I hope?
He was yesterday.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
he's
rolling down the ramp tomorrow and taking down the mom to the doctor because he wants to get out of the house. I said, well, you're going to have to get some arm strength and help because that man's sick. And then a wheelchair and him. It's hard enough to walk down that ramp. I picked him up.
It is supposed to be raining tomorrow too. I don't know if y'all's is this way, but the ramp at the house, man, that thing is slippery. It's not on the doorknob on its way.
Inside.
Oh, inside. Okay, well that's a little bit better. There's been a couple of different times that I got an old Lincoln arc welder that I inherited from my grandpa. And there's been a few times that I busted my backside trying to get that thing down the ramp and it would be wet and slick. You know, I always let it go first, so when I fall, it just kind of, all the weight's on the wheels, and it just kind of lays back, you know, and I don't get squished. But is Miss Vivian getting her blood checked tomorrow? Is that because okay, are they doing it more often now? Because I thought she just did it last week. It is every 2 weeks. Okay. Okay, so be much in prayer for that also, that Miss Vivian's blood level will be good. Is Brother Fred still on the mend?
About the same, yeah. He's going to.
I seen him outside the other evening.
Yeah.
Sitting out on the kind of at the edge of the carport or whatever, and I think Harley was out there.
Mm-hmm.
So continue to remember Brother Fred. Is Cooper okay? Was he?
He's working.
Oh, okay. So So, remember too, we didn't say all these young people are growing up. They're growing up and we're trying to get old and, you know, some of us are like, you know, about to get older and... But still haven't heard anything about Preacher Stormy Mosteller's baby, so I don't know. Either she hadn't had him, or
her.
Either she hadn't had him yet, or they just haven't posted on Facebook. So do be much in prayer for that. Does anybody know still what Heather's baby is? Clint's sister's baby?
Oh yeah, they said was it a girl?
Was it a girl? Because I know you were saying they said if you want to know what yeah. Sex is, you got to come see her. People showed up and they wouldn't let them in. Especially after what I've experienced recently, that sounds right. But just pray for them, and you know, the thing about babies for sale, we'll continue to remember Stephanie. I guess everything's still going okay. As far as you know, and everything.
Yeah, I had to start insulin for my fasted sugars. Like all of my after meals are good, but my fasting is still high. So I'm being referred to an actual specialist in gestational diabetes. I've even upped my insulin a little bit every 2 to 3 days of that 2 units. So I started at 10, I'm now at 14, so, and it's still high. So, and fasting is, I thought, well, if all my after meals are good, then that's probably most important. No, the fasting rate is like the most important. I can't remember what she said exactly what that is, but it's kind of what they're saying, but it's kind of out of my control because I'm trying to eat just straight protein, and not eating was even higher. So, you know, just eating straight protein, that doesn't make any sense. So it's a little frustrating. But she assured me not to stress and worry that we get a shirt.
Okay, good. Amen. Yeah, remember this. What would help on that? And continue to remember the Maccabees as they move forward with their foster process. Been some, you know, some developments in that. So thank the Lord for that. And do continue to remember them. Always remember our pastor. I know he desires our prayers. And I was thinking, you know, when we were singing that first song, in the last verse it talks about, it asks that question, before Christ coming, kingdom or new sign. And I can't tell you how many people that I've heard recently that have been talking about that either Bible studies are involved in or pastors of churches have been teaching, preaching, whatever, on eschatology. It seems to be something that is increasingly on people's mind. And that's something I've had in the back of my mind for a while, is that, at least in my lifetime, as time has progressed, it seems like there has been more preaching and teaching about it than even when there was when I was a kid. Does it seem that way to you, preacher? Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems that way to me, and I don't know, I mean, again, no man knows the day nor the hour, but I feel like that is likely yet another sign that we have that his coming is approaching, that he is calling his people's attention to the subject, because if you go back far enough, nobody was preaching about eschatology. As a matter of fact, Preacher R.A. Torrey, when he first saved him and called him to preach, he thought all the people preaching about the Lord coming back, he thought they were all crazy. He's like, oh, man, y'all are nuts.
Around about World War II, there was a lot of people who were teaching us on, they were teaching differently than what we believe today. But based on the fact that, you know, the signs that we see, they were interpreting
it
in a different way because of what they were seeing. I mean, you know, the world at war, and with the Jews being captive, and being put in concentration camps, and all that, you know, and they believed that, you know, Germany, be in a position where it was that Hitler himself could be the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And that he was, you know, not yet in full power in the world, but the moves he was making, you can see how they believe that.
I probably would have believed the same thing.
Yeah,
and
me
I'm like you, I know you mentioned this before, that more than likely that would get another example of Satan trying to bring the Antichrist on the scene, and it just was not God's timing yet, and so God did not allow that to happen. But just continue to remember our pastor as he leads us. And remember, Preacher Clint's doing foundations this month, is that right? Is that what I understand? Okay, so remember that. And remember Miss Megan, you know, she is also with child, to use the biblical language, so remember them.
Remember Renee, my brother-in-law, he has his aunt today, he goes to the law specialist next week, so we need to come back to that one. This was an accident, she told him she was not hurt, so that's a good thing, I'm sure it's further to the left, and they don't know what type of car it's in yet, so they don't know what they need to do.
And remember this, Christina was telling me about that on the way down here, and she said that her understanding was Krista was okay, but that was part of my question was, you know, is she gonna have a vehicle?
At that time, the chain reaction thing, there were several cars.
Okay. Yeah, definitely remember this, and I really appreciate people watching out for Krista, that you know that she's okay. Do you know, is everybody else all right as far as physically?
I was talking about him getting ready to leave, and he was in a hurry, that probably.
Yeah, okay. Definitely remember that situation. Remember our youth revival coming up? Man, is it? Yeah, I guess it's next week, isn't it? A week from tonight. That's when it starts. So remember that. Remember Preacher Curtis Ponger. I wanted to make mention of it too. It looks like probably it's shaping up that probably on the 22nd of this month at 6:30 at Valley View, some of the folks in our homeschool group wanted to get together and go over some of the stuff that I had discovered about doing the parental controls on the phones and the computers and things. So, and of course, anybody else is invited to that too if you want to come at Valley View, 6:30 on the 22nd. If you want to come, maybe send me a text. That way, because I feel like it's not 100% nailed down. That way, if the schedule changes, I'll let you know. Right? So if you're interested, send me a text. If you don't have my phone number, ask me. I'm not going to announce it because we're recording and there's weirdos on the internet. But you can text Christine, you can text me, whatever. But so pray for that. Just pray that the Lord would help us to be a help. That's all I want, you know, is to be able to do that for people. Who else has got a request to make mention of this evening?
And the thing
that okay, so that's okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I've heard the name before.
Huntley.
Okay, so remember this family. Remember Brother Robert, he's not here this evening. Actually, I thought I saw him pull up, but obviously I'm mistaken because he's not in here. But remember him. And it seems like the past couple of weeks he's been struggling a little bit more with just the health stuff that he's got going on, you know, that he had. So remember him. Continue to remember Brother Charles, too. You know, he's had several places taken off, and I feel bad I've lost track. Does he still have more that he's scheduled to have taken off? Does anybody know? Or?
I think he's called up. I might be wrong, but I think he's called up.
He was able to come to practice with Tony last
night. Okay, good.
I thank the Lord for loving me, giving me an answer in prayers.
Yes.
And just thank the Lord for helping me in so many ways.
Amen.
And namely, just directing my path, not letting me be doubtful about directions in life he wants me to go. I've been doubtful before.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have the other issues I've got in life and trials than to have to worry about just not knowing.
Yeah.
And I thank God for that, and here lately, and just continue to pray for me. I want to thank the Lord for answering prayers. I lay and text Stephanie every day, and then this lady, she's requested prayer for a few times. She's had cancer. She had a PET scan today, and they didn't show it showed enough.
So, amen.
Take care of that. Thank the Lord for that. If you would, just continue to pray for me. Things I got going on, even my blood pressure, she'll going up. She's had that gestational diabetes, so I've been checking my sugar, it's been high. I ate the other day, went home and checked it 2 hours, or 2.5 hours later, 3 hours later, and it was over 300. And I don't know, it's just, you know, I told her, I said, anytime I've ever started preaching, series on either spiritual warfare or eschatology, I have to fight some kind of spiritual warfare, and I believe that's what it is. I really do. And so I'm going to do all I can. I'm going to eat better, and been eating better, and I'm going to fight through it, and y'all just pray for me.
Yes.
And Lord, take care of it. I really will. Also pray for my friend Buddy Martin. He's come to church here several times. He's been the last few Sundays in a row. He sits back here. He's not saved. Pray that God work his heart. Said the Lord's dealing with him. He's going through a lot. He really struggles with alcohol, but he wants to overcome it. And he knows that the Lord can get him there, and he knows that the Lord can save him. And I don't know what's holding him back from just surrender, but I know the Lord's dealing with him. He's been dealing with him, and he's been trying to, you know, take some steps, and he's just hit rock bottom, and he sort of had a little bit of a crisis this week. And his mama called me last night. They took him down to the hospital. He's down to cry. And so just pray for him, and just pray for him. It's just emotional, mental, and spiritual is all it is, but just pray for him. And I know God will take care of him. Lord willing, I'm going to try to see him more. He told his mama that he wanted me to come see him. And so I'm going to go down and try to see him. But at the end, you got to get a code or something. Bradley, also a friend, he tried to get the code for us. So he said he wanted me and Bradley to come see him. But we haven't been able to get the code from the hospital yet. So I don't know. He's got to, you know, give him that. So we'll find out. But either way, just pray about it.
Yeah. All right, let's all read this. I'll come straight.
Spirit, and may you be glorified.
in Jesus' name we pray.
For all things in Jesus' name.
It's good to be in the Lord's house. This time next week, we'll be having revival. It's already that time. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you all are too. Y'all, you youth, be sure to invite your friends. Tell them to come, drag them in here. If you got to, get them with the good time on Saturday, but tell them they got to be here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know, of course they won't, but tell them, encourage them to. You know, they might just go because they just want to hang out. And that's what I done when I was at church. I just want to hang out. But you know what? I was hanging out there a little too long. God got a hold of it.
Yeah, amen.
I thank God for that.
Amen.
I sure wasn't going to hear what God had to say. I went because, you know, people just aggravated me until I went. Other young people. And I went. And, you know, if churches, you know, in high school they do that thing, most likely, you know, if churches was going to have a poll like that, when I was that age, I'd have definitely probably been most likely to die lost. I would have. But God had other plans, and I thank God for that.
Yeah, amen.
I am thankful now that the Lord worked and brought me into his house.
Yeah.
And had a man there behind that pulpit to preach the word of God to me.
Yeah.
And he convicted my heart. He brought me to himself and he saved me. He revealed his precious son, Jesus Christ, to me and saved my soul. I'm thankful for that. That's my prayer for every person I'm with. Even my enemies, as angry and as sorry as I am in this flesh, to think just evil thoughts towards people sometimes, at the end of the day, I end up praying for them. I thank God for that.
Yeah,
wasn't always that way. Wasn't always that way when God saved me. But you know what? It just goes to show he didn't just save me and leave my life as it was. He's still changing me.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful for that tonight. All right. We prayed much about the meeting coming up. We prayed for the man of God's getting ready. He texted me today. I believe he's fired up. He's ready to go. He's like an old, you know, one of them old cranking engines where you turn that old shaft, and I believe he's about on that last turn where that thing's about to hit that fire stroke. It's going to fire up. But just pray for him, pray for one another. I'm praying for myself. You know, I'm not selfishly, but just that God would humble me with his presence and just move once again. And I encourage y'all to pray the same thing. Somebody got a song they want to sing before we get started tonight. Amen. We need to come up with a name for this to do.
Be that my vision, O Lord.
short tonight because I cannot really tie in the end of Sunday's message, which I didn't get to finish because he's just around time. I can tell I was losing the inside of the stuff tonight. That's it. Well, I'm sitting there and really think I'm lying. That was the truth. Sitting there and not sure what happened. You can feel that up here, I promise you.
Yeah.
We got to call me, give me some gifts. Make sure we did. But in any case, that's all right. I was only two. But, no, I'm going to finish that. Lord willing, tonight we'll be back in Revelation chapter 6. We're still talking about that coming Antichrist and the start of the tribulation, specifically that first 3.5 years. And we're talking about his role in that first 3.5 years. Now, Lord willing, Sunday we'll still be talking about the tribulation period, and we'll be talking about that first 3.5 years, but we'll be looking at the other side of the coin at a different aspect of that first 3.5 years. But tonight, we're just going to finish talking about that. And so if you have your Bibles, if you'll stand with it, we'll read again in Revelation chapter 6. Now, we had talked about the opening of the seals, and we talked about the opening of these first three seals and these first three horsemen. And we talked about how these horsemen are representing different aspects of the Antichrist reign and his coming to power. Now, this fourth horseman still would represent the power and the authority that the Antichrist will have that is given to him by God. Now listen, we know that his power comes from that dragon, but it's only allowed because God has said it. And as we read here, we're going to go to some scripture, and we're going to see how that once again, that on God and his sovereignty, that this is all part of his plan. And I want us to keep that in the back of our mind and understand that we would not fear, that we would not dread, but that we would understand that God in his goodness has ordained this to be part of these last days, and that he has a purpose and a plan in it. But I want to begin reading in just verse number 7 there of Revelation chapter 6. He says, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Pray, God, that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it and help us, God, Lord, even tonight, Lord, to have understanding in your word. And I pray that you'd be glorified, God, that you'd be exalted. Lord, we thank you for loving us and allowing us to be here tonight. It's in Jesus' name we beg. Amen. Now, he says here that this fourth horse, a pale horse, a greenish horse, one that looks like somebody that has died, that look that a corpse would have. And he says that and the one that sat on him, his name was Death. And it says, and hell followed with him. And listen, power was given unto them over the fourth part of that is a fourth of the population of the earth. To kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Now, because he is death, he is associated with the death of people that are in the world. Now, as we read this, we understand that when he says the sword, we can see how that this other horseman represented the sword, that second horseman there, that red horseman. It says that power is given unto him to sit there on to take peace from the earth. And it says here that it says he was given a great sword. And so we see that he was given power to kill with that sword. And with hunger, we see how that there is going to be famine from the third seal. And that third seal tells us that there's a black horse with a pair of balances. We talked about how he said that there would be measures of grains for what it says, a penny. But we know that's talking about denarius, which is a larger sum of money. It would be a few hundred dollars, anywhere from like $283 to $400 and some, depending on how you would calculate that, okay? I'm not going to get into all that, but nevertheless, it would be to say this, that it would cost, basically half a week's paycheck just to buy a measure, meaning enough to supply one person for one meal. That's a measure. When he's talking about a measure. He's saying that is enough to give you one helping, one serving for one person. He's saying that that's how great the famines will be. That is the level of the famine that we're going to see. And we know that when we're talking about that there's going to be famines that are going to be in the earth before this time that are leading up to that, right? We can see that there's famines that are happening where we read just a few weeks ago in the signs that are leading up to this tribulation period, leading up to this rapture. So if the famines have already started, then we can only imagine how that they're going to get to this point. Now, peradventure, if you will, we talked about last week this coming Antichrist, and we talked about how that when he comes, he will cause everyone to receive a mark in the right hand and the foreheads, and it'll be the mark of, it'll be his mark, it'll be the number of man, the number 600, 3, 4, 6, 666. We know that, we've heard that, we've read about that before. But he says that in order that they might buy, sell, and trade, that is why they would have to have that mark. Now, how will he be able to institute that? How will he be able to convince so many? Because there's going to be a scarcity of goods and essentials that he would have to say, look, we're only going to allow certain people to have so much because there's only so much to have. Because that's going to be part of his reason for coming into authority so that they can spread the world's goods. Right now, think about what's going on with these tariffs, right? What is it doing? It's interrupting trade. Okay? Globalists do not like that.
Yeah.
They do not like the interruption of trade. Because why? Because they feel that, you know, it's going to help everybody to just be able to take everybody's goods. If China's got more of something than we don't, and we got more of something than they do, why would we want to, you know, just look out for ourselves? Why don't we just be neighborly? To them, they call what is evil good and good evil, right? And so that's we see the sentiment even now, how that spirit is already in the world. And whenever we look at this fourth seal here, he says that he'll cure with hunger, that is that famine, and it says, and with death, and that death, I believe, is meaning pestilence or sickness, and I will elaborate on that just a little bit more with another scripture here in just a moment, and then he says, and the beast of the earth. Now, part of that pestilence, we understand meaning sickness or disease. We talked about how there will be pestilences also leading up to the time of the end. And so we could imagine that the growing rate of disease will even spread even further during this time of the tribulation. And because of that, much like we've seen, just like I was talking about last Sunday, talking about during COVID, how you can see how that, you know, government really sees the need to step in times like that and to really push for you to have certain medicines. And there might be even other medicines that some would say might be helpful. And, you know, because of basically, if it don't go with what they want you to do, you know, like, I don't remember what was the name of the medicine everybody said, help me out here. I brought some code on.
HCQ and ivermectin.
Yeah, okay. HCQ and ivermectin.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's many well-known scientists and medical professionals that said this stuff is working. And now they're going back and they're suing and they're winning cases because they proved that it did work.
Yep.
And that stuff was shut down by mainstream media and by people in our government that said, no, if you don't get, you know, whatever we prescribe, then nothing works. And so it was just all political, okay?
Yep.
And in the same way, these diseases will help this Antichrist figure, this beast, establish his power, establish his authority, because the world will see the need for a unifying individual to come in and to be able to dictate what people should do to get treatment and to be healed of these different things. And so we can see that, but there'll be many that are dying from this death or this pestilence, this disease. And he says, and with the beast of the earth. Now, we haven't really, we read over it just a little bit, but in chapter 9, it says that the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to earth, and to him was given the key, the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. I don't know if I thought I'd had you bring your picture that you drew in your dad's class in here, so I could give them an example. That was a good picture. A lot of y'all drew a good picture, but I particularly like Noah's. He's very artistic. And it says here, they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottom split, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, come two woes more hereafter. Now, as we read this, we understand that these would be what I would call some kind of beast. And we see that there is an angel that is over them, and this is not a good angel. This is not a godly angel. This is a horrific figure. This is a figure of the type of one that would either be the Antichrist or one that would be under the authority of the Antichrist to direct these things to hurt. But now it says that they were not allowed to hurt those who had the seal of God in their foreheads. Lord willing, we'll get into that on Sunday morning. But nevertheless, we see here that whenever he's talking about this fourth part of the earth, that is to include not only those saints that will be killed with the sword and will be martyred, that we read about when we get to that fifth seal, which we'll go over Sunday morning. But we also see how that there's many that will be lost, that will be part of this world, that also will be killed under this reign of this Antichrist, because it says that he will use even beasts of the earth. Like I said, it's going to be short tonight, so just hold on. I know I'm talking a lot. In Ezekiel, in chapter number 14, and this is the prophecy I want to read concerning this last horseman, this fourth seal. Ezekiel prophesies a little bit specifically about this fourth seal. Now, I'm going to read this a little bit. Now, if you're able, I want you to turn with me there in Ezekiel chapter 14. I want you to read along with me. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12. It says, "The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job," that's an odd trio to put together, isn't it? Noah, Daniel, and Job. They lived years apart. That's an odd trio. What do they have in common? Let's see. It says, "And though they were in it, in the land," it says, though these three were in it, as if they're there together at this same time. It says that they were in it, "they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men," Noah, Daniel, and Job, doesn't say it there, that's what it's talking about, "were in it, as I live, saith the Lord." He swears by himself because he can swear by none other. He says, "they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man from beast." I like how he says that. He says, if I say sword go through, then guess what happens? The sword goes through.
Yeah.
That is a decision that God has to make ultimately.
Yeah.
And he says this, "though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut it off from man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness." And so he says here that
if there was famines in that land, and these three men were there, they would deliver nobody but themselves. He says if there was a sword, he says they'll deliver nobody but themselves. If there are beasts, they'll deliver nobody but themselves. He says if there's a pestilence, they'll deliver nobody but themselves. Then he says this in verse 21. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sword judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence. Now, we just seen how that horseman that is called death, mm-hmm. when he comes, he brings what? He brings a sword, he brings famine, he brings the beast of the earth, and he brings pestilence. He brings death, is what it says. And we believe that to be pestilence.
Yeah.
And he says to cut off from it man and beast. He says this in verse 22. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. He says, these are things that I'm doing, and I'm doing it for a reason. He says, and you may see it. Now, when he says this, he says there'll be a remnant. Now, we know that during that time of tribulation, there will be a remnant. But how does that correlate with what we just read here from this chapter when it says that these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, he says, and it's not even in chronological order. Do you know that? Did you notice that? It's not even, Noah was first, and then Job, and then Daniel, right?
Yeah.
Is that not right?
Yeah.
Well, then how would it be that, he names them that way? That's just odd to me. And it's odd to me that those three men. And so I was reading this because I understood already in studying this, before I studied this, I understood that in verse 21, he's talking about that fourth horseman, that fourth seal of judgment that God opens on that book that the Lord Jesus opened. But when I read this, for the first time, something else popped out to me. And something came to mind. I began to study. And I realized this. In Matthew chapter 24, let me turn over there real quick. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. We know here that he's talking about the day of the Lord. And in verse 36 of Matthew 24, he says this. He says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Are you following? For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He's given a warning to the Jewish people.
Yeah.
Jesus here is speaking to Jewish people. Now remember, the church is removed. The church has been raptured. The church is gone. But Jesus here is talking to the Jewish people. That's who's around. He says, this is who this is for. He says, understand this. And he goes on to tell them to flee. He's not talking about us. He's talking about those Jews
right.
that would be in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And he's giving them a warning. He said, so it'll be like the days of Noah. There will be many that will not believe and they will not get on the ark. Now, do you remember a few weeks ago when I talked about how that Noah was a type of Israel being carried through the tribulation period? And we talked about that.
Yes.
And we've seen that Enoch was a type of church that was raptured before that began. And then we've seen that Noah was carried through. We talked about that. And here we see that it'll be like in the days of Noah. It says they were living their lives. They were eating, drinking. They were just getting married. They were planning their futures. And yet, whenever the rain came, they did not believe. They did not believe until the rain came. There's many that will not believe until the time that tribulation period starts and that Antichrist comes into power. And because they will not believe until that time, here we have this warning to say, hey, you better get on the ark. We understand and know that God is going to provide a place and a hiding place for some of those that are in Israel to hide them and to carry them through on that ark. And he's giving them the warning of Noah. Now, when Ezekiel prophesied, he said that the only ones that will be saved is Noah and Daniel and Job. Noah knew that he believed God.
that the rain was going to come. He believed God that the judgment was going to come. And he believed that there was an ark that was going to come through. So he built the ark and he got on. And so we see here that in the last days, that we see the warning of Noah. Again, in Matthew 24, in verse 15, Jesus says this. He says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." He says, listen, as you read this, please understand this. When you see this, he says, he doesn't say Daniel prophesied about something that's going to happen. Now Jesus said, when you see this happen, he says, understand what I'm about to tell you. "Then let him which be in Jerusalem flee to the mountains. Let him which be in the house come not down to take any thing out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to get his clothes." And he goes on and he talks about that there's going to be great tribulation. And he's telling all this. And as we read this, we understand that it is again a warning about something that Daniel, it's the warning of Daniel. Daniel had gave the warning to say, understand that you need to identify that this is not someone who is in league with Israel. Because remember, most of Israel, the majority of Israel, is going to sign a treaty. They're going to come into an agreement with this Antichrist figure. We read about that.
Yeah.
And we read about that in Daniel on Sunday, how that they will sign a treaty with him and that they will be in league with him up until this point. Now, this is talking about the midpoint through that tribulation. And if you can recall, we went over that on Sunday. And we went over that in Daniel. But we see here that he's given them the warning to say, this is not your Messiah. He goes on right after that to say that in that day there will be many false Christs that are risen. He says, follow them not and believe them not. And he's given them the warning that Daniel had given them that this would happen. He said, do not get in league with this man. So who was saved during that time that Ezekiel prophesied that? He said, it's Noah. Noah's not going to be there. It's Daniel. Daniel's not going to be there. Job is not going to be there. So who is it? It's those who would follow the warning that Jesus gives them based on what had happened to Noah, what Daniel warned about, and then also in Job, James in chapter number 5. First of all, in verse 7, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth." He says, be patient for the coming of the Lord. "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." And so we see here that there is the warning of Job, that he should have patience. We know that the entire book of Job boils down to this, having patience in the Lord, right? But specifically, when he says there, he says, you've heard of the patience of Job and have seen to the end of the Lord. We understand this, that in the whole entire Bible, the only time Job is mentioned is once in Genesis, when it's telling generations, and it says, so-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so, 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 and one of them is Job. And then we read Job's name several times in the book of Job. And then the only other place in the Bible where Job is mentioned is here in the book of James in chapter number 5. And it's talking about the coming of the Lord. And there's a warning there. And then if we go back to the book of Job and we read in chapter number 19, Job says this. Now this is after he is talking here and he is giving an answer to his friends who are accusing him of, you know, saying, you know, what have you done wrong, and so on and so forth. And in verse 23 of Job 19, he says this. He says, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Hey, you know what? He got his prayer answered.
Yeah.
Amen. He wanted people to read this. He said, what I'm about to say, I wish that
that wish that God answered that prayer for me.
Yes.
I don't know if he answered it in Job's day, but God answered that prayer.
Yeah.
That just goes to show you, hey, listen, God hears your prayers. He says this, he says that they were graven with an iron pin and laid in the rock forever. He says this, for I know. Now this is Job. Now remember, he didn't know Christ.
Right.
He sacrificed. But this is what he says. He prophesied. And he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth.
Yeah.
He says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God,
yeah,
whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And so going back to James, he says, you've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. He said that Job saw the end, that the Lord was there, that he would stand upon the earth. And he said, I'll see with my eyes. He said, though I die and this flesh will rot, he said that I know that I'll see the Lord. He had patience in going through trials and going through afflictions. There will be those who will not take the mark. There will be those who will not take that mark during that tribulation period because they've had patience and they've tried through to the end and they've looked for the coming of the Lord. We see the warning of Noah, the warning of Daniel, and the warning of Job. And we see that it is related directly into this time of the tribulation period, in this first 3.5 years of this tribulation period. Because we can also see that in Ezekiel, how that it is told there that there would be those four particular judgments that are brought against Israel during that time. In a time when we know that as he is saying this, as this is being prophesied in Ezekiel, Daniel is dead, Job is dead, and that Noah is dead. Now, he said when we go to meet him, he says, and there shall you be with the Lord forever. Right? So when we go to be with God, we're not coming back here. That's not going to happen. And so, and too, this is the thing. It says that they will be saved. They'll save themselves. We read that in Ezekiel. You remember that? They said that they would save themselves. So no other flesh, but they wouldn't be able to save anybody else. It says, but they'll save themselves. Why? Because they are following that warning that God gives by Noah, by Daniel, and by Job in that last time. And whenever we go back to Revelation in chapter 6, we see that this one is sitting with his pale horse, that this Antichrist, it says, this type of Antichrist, this power, if you will, the Antichrist that comes, it says that he is dead. And when we read this, it's scary. How many of you have ever seen Tombstone? Don't lie. Don't be, yeah, I know that. I know, we've all seen it. It ain't an Antichrist movie, but you know, it is what it is. But you know the time when John Ringo, the guy's quoting this right here out of Revelation chapter 6. And, you know, he says, well, the other Spanish speaking guy said something about a green horse or something like that. And then John Ringo quotes it properly. And he says, when he says that, you know, I remember as a child, I hear that, and I'm like, man, that sounds really scary to say that, you know. And it is. And let me just read it to you this way. All right, for a moment, quiet your mind with everything we just talked about. And let me just read this one more time. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill, with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. For those that are going into the tribulation, this should be a scary thing. It sounds very scary. Probably some of the most frightening things that you could read in the Word of God. For someone who was lost, someone who didn't know anything else about the Word of God, if you was to read that to somebody, it would grab their attention. They probably heard John 3:16 100,000 times. They probably heard you quote all kinds of different verses throughout the Gospels. But if you was to quote that to somebody, they would be like, come on, what is that about? You know they would. Because it grabs their attention. It brings fear. It's the same thing that when you watch a thriller movie. You know, it holds your attention. You just got to see what's going to happen. That's the same way it's going to do. You know why? Because it's the Word of God. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And whenever he's talking about this, there's something within the human soul to say, I know within me that that is coming one day. And I know that. Hey, I want to encourage you, church, that the Bible reminds us over and over again that as followers of Jesus Christ, that this is not something that we have to fear. That this is an encouragement for us that God has spared us from this wrath to take us to be with him. Now, there will be some that will be here on the earth. There will be people who are lost, and they will be here. But we know that there will be a remnant. We know that those who followed those warnings that we talked about from Noah, Daniel, and Job, that they'll be saved. We know that there's going to be that 144,000 who received that seal. There'll be the two witnesses, and there'll be many peoples without number of all different tongues and all different nations that have been saved out of great tribulation. That we're going to go over, Lord willing, Sunday morning. But just to say this, once again, to reiterate, it says the power was given to him over the fourth part of earth. That means that it was allotted to him. It was allowed to him.
Yeah.
It's still by God's plan.
Right.
We just read how in Ezekiel, he said this. He said in the end, he said, you understand. Hey, I know I'm very fast. If you want me to give you any of these notes or tell you any of these verses to go home and read it later, let me know and I will. But do go home and read Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 12 to the end of the chapter. If you got time, read it. Read especially those last two verses and remind yourself of that, that God's purpose in that, he said, was basically this, to remind him he's in control and that he's bringing good out of it.
Thanks.
Understand, I believe this, just about what I know about this tribulation period. It's going to get to a time when that the only way, because this is the thing, God knows the future. He knows the heart of man. He knows what will happen with every person. He already knows, right? Can we read on that?
Yeah.
God already knows every person that will wind up in heaven. He knows every person that will wind up in hell. He doesn't push one more or the other, right? But yet, we know that God knows this because he's omniscient. He has this knowledge. I believe it's ever been in me that during this tribulation period, it is going to be because that the only people remain on earth who will submit to God, it will take the tribulation to them. I believe that. That's what I believe. But based on just what we read, and we can see how that God says that it will comfort them. He says that this time of this fourth horseman, this death that he calls it, and it says that hell follows with him. Read it in Ezekiel chapter 4. He says it will comfort you. It will comfort you. It will bring comfort to you whenever this happens. Whenever I've seen these four grievous judgments upon Jerusalem, he says that we're going to comfort him. I pray that as we read this, that it brings comfort to you. It does comfort me.
Yeah.
There's a time in my life, and there's been times in my life where this kind of reading about and studying about eschatology, it didn't comfort me because I was not living for God. I was not serving God. I was serving my flesh, and I was serving this world. And even as a Christian, there have been times that I've been backslid, and I was not serving God, and I worried about the coming of the Lord. I worried about it, and it was something that scared me. I want to encourage you tonight, you do not have to be afraid. Submit yourself to God. Fully follow him. Yet under his authority, it is not a grievous burden. He said, my burden is light, and my yoke is easy. Yeah. That means that the best way to get through this life is following him. Let me tell you something about stupid sheep and I'm done. The stupidest animal you could have in a pasture is a goat. I despise it. I'm sorry, I know y'all love goats. I despise them. I do. That is one more. I mean, they tell me if I'm wrong about this. They will purposely go and seek out things they're not supposed to eat that will kill them and try to eat it. You know what? You don't have that problem with sheep. Until they're with the goats. And then they do what the goats do. Got a pasture full of sheep over at my house. And it's like four goats. And I'll be over there. We go out there with feed. And we want to feed them. We'll have them almost rounded up. Because we got to worm these things, or else they die. They need this medicine. They need some healing. And them stupid goats will get almost there and they'll run the other way. And every one of them sheep, after I've fed them, after I've took care of them, after I've bandaged them up and done everything else, they'll follow the stupid goats. The goats don't do nothing but ram them out of the way when they're trying to eat. The goats don't do nothing but greedily take all the grain whenever you put the sweet feet out, and yet they follow the stupid goats. That's the way we are.
Yeah.
We're sheep in God's pasture, there's goats that are going to hell. I'm sorry, but that's the way God put it, not me.
Yeah.
The goats are lost, the sheep are the ones that are saved. Yeah. That's the way God does it.
Yeah.
And instead of following the shepherd and just having a good life, instead of getting healed when we need healed, instead of getting fed when we need fed, we keep following the goats.
Yeah.
And we have to pay for it. Hey, listen, you don't have to worry about when the good shepherd comes. We can be found doing what we're supposed to do by following before he gets here. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for loving us. I thank you, God, for bringing encouragement to our hearts. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for reminding us, God, that even in the scariest of times and the things that we may fear, Lord, we do not have to, for we know, God, that you are in control and that your way and the things that you're working and doing are good. Lord, that you intend goodness, Lord, towards those that love you and have been called according to your purpose. We thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for having mercy upon me. Lord, establishing my path and directing me, God, I pray that you arrest my mind and my heart, God, that I would follow you, that I would not be so easily, Lord, distracted, Lord, by, Lord, the goats of this world and the things of this world, Lord, that so easily distract me and cause me to stumble and to veer off course. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you keep me, Lord, in the path that I should go, that I would look to you, Lord, that I would submit to you in every way. And I pray, Lord, that you do this for every person here tonight. Help us, God, to just exalt you, Lord, with our tongues and in our hearts. May you be magnified, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, maybe that's only a holiday for me. I'm sorry. All right, as I watch my speed. All right. Brother Lee, will you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
We are thank you, Father, for this day, Father. Thank you for this day that you've given us this opportunity one more time to come meet our house, Heavenly Father, to worship you and the Lord of thy word, Heavenly Father, that you have given us, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the message that has brought it to us, Heavenly Father, through him, that you have sent the word to us, God. Thank you for it. We pray for all the requests from the heart. Lord, I ask to be in our field, Lord, to answer their prayer, dear Lord. Lord, just take us all home, safe, Lord, and back. One time, give you glory and praise for it all. In Jesus' precious name, amen.